Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's For the Love of Food, and asparagus season is here. I love this time of the year, asparagus, and then strawberries. A few weeks from now, my strawberries are blooming beautifully. Asparagus is something you probably want to buy rather than plant in your garden, unless you have a big garden and are going to be around for quite a few years, because when you plant asparagus, you generally have to wait 4 years before you harvest any, because you're trying to build the root system, and asparagus takes up a lot of space, too. It doesn't look like it. You know, the stuff that you buy, little spears of asparagus, you know, how much space can that take up? But they actually turn into crazy ferny fronds that are 6 feet tall and 4 feet wide. It's hard to believe, really. And so you need a lot of space in a garden, and you also need a lot of patience to wait those 4 years. And if you do that, then you're going to have some great asparagus for quite a while, for decades maybe. But it does take several years. There's really no way around that. So if you want to grow your own, plant it as soon as you can, and go out and, you know, the farmers markets have that. I've seen it at a bunch of different markets. Was at Sunscape Farms earlier this week, and I've got some asparagus there, and it's just I love this time of the year, a fresh asparagus for several meals a day. We have a special guest with us, who a longtime chef, someone who helped create the culinary scene in the Finger Lakes, Suzanne Stack from Suzanne's Fine Regional Cuisine. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning, Thomas. How are you, Michael?
Yes, very good. This is your restaurant has changed over the years, but want to say you were one of the first Finger Lakes chefs to get a James Beard nomination, and that's still something you remember and treasure, right?
Certainly do, and I do remember it fondly, and it's just so wonderful that the Finger Lakes started to get such recognition, and that kind of is what's so wonderful about it, is that people come up and, you know, between the wineries and distilleries and breweries, now also wonderful restaurants, it's kind of full circle and very complete, which is great for people to come and visit.
Well, you opened Suzanne's Fine Regional Cuisine. How many years ago did you start the business?
Yeah, 2003 we opened.
And again, right now, and for the last several years, you have not been doing a la carte. You were doing events, and you have kind of cut back and just doing many fewer things now, right?
Yeah, our last 3 years, we actually offered at the restaurant a five-course wine dinner, which was very successful. People really embraced it. It was really wonderful. And it was always my dream to be able to do that. And thinking back of Alice Waters and how she actually incorporated that into her restaurant in Berkeley, California. And we were so thrilled to be able to finish our last 3 years strongly with offering this five-course wine dinner. We did a wine pairing with each course. And what was really special about it, Michael, was that the menu was never even posted. People would just welcome coming into the dining room and being surprised with each course and each wine that went with each course. And then thereafter, we started to have more of a cooking school, and we started to teach cooking classes and having cooking demonstrations to kind of cut back a little bit. And that was also really wonderful, and people really enjoyed it.
And is that something that you had done in the past, the cooking classes? Is that something that you kind of had wanted to do and finally decided to do more of these classes?
Yeah, I started off that way. I in New Jersey, when we lived in New Jersey, I taught at a culinary college at Brookdale Community College. and I taught in their culinary program. And then I also had a small cooking school in our home in New Jersey. So that is really where I started, was with teaching before actually opening the restaurant. So it's kind of, it was a really nice way to end. And I still love the teaching part. You know, it's just so nice. We all have something to offer. And it's really great when you embrace it, you love it, you're passionate about it, and you get to share it with others. And that feels good. You know, it always feels good to be able to share what you love most.
You know, I was just watching the movie Nothing Fancy, that the movie about Diana Kennedy, who I didn't know much about until seeing the movie. It's available through the Little Theater online for a couple more days at least.
Right.
And she was teaching classes, her boot camp, in her home in Mexico when she was 93. So you have decades to go, Suzanne.
And I look forward to that. I really do. I know she is really a powerhouse. I mean, just a woman to be inspired by. And I think that's absolutely fabulous. And I have to tell you, Michael, you're talking about asparagus, which is one of my more favorite vegetables. My next video I'm going to be doing, we have a YouTube channel, and it's, you know, Cooking with Suzanne, Fine Regional Cuisine. And I'm going to do one of the dishes we did here at the restaurant with a crab meat and asparagus and fingerling potatoes and a nice vinaigrette. And I just thought of it when I heard you talking about the asparagus. So I'm excited to be sharing that. That was one of our very popular appetizers that we used to serve at the restaurant. Looking forward to sharing that with everyone.
And really a pretty easy dish, right? It's, you know,
it's beautiful. Right. Yeah, it tastes amazing. It's very clean and pure flavors, and it will go so beautifully with any wonderful, you know, white wine from the Finger Lakes. I mean, it'll just be absolutely fantastic. A Riesling would be super with it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to teaching that one. That one was a very big favorite here, and it's a good time to be sharing that with all this beautiful asparagus that's available right now.
Yeah, and you have a garden in back of the restaurant. I don't know if you had asparagus growing in it, but you had a lot of other plants that you would grow and use for the kitchen.
Yeah, you're right about the asparagus. It does take 4 years to grow. You do need an awful lot of space for it. Once it's in, you know, you'll get it every year, and it's quite the gift. But you're right, there's a lot to really putting it in. And yeah, our gardens in the back are looking beautiful. All the herbs are just spectacular right now. So I'm happy. I couldn't live without the herb garden. I mean, I just so love it. And it looks beautiful right now.
And that's really partly what inspires chefs, right, is seeing what's growing in the garden, what's at the farmers markets. It's hard to imagine really being a chef and not being in touch with the seasons.
It's so true. And you think about, I mean, years ago, that really wasn't the case. But today, I think every chef, that is their dream, is to have their own garden in their backyard, to be able to just walk out and get their herbs and pick their produce. How lucky we all are to have that today. That wasn't as popular, you know, going back in the 50s and 60s, but certainly today, I don't think any chef would want to cook any other way.
So how do you decide what to do, and how often do you do the videos on your YouTube channel?
Well, you know, I'm actually, my dream is to really put together a cookbook from the restaurant based on most of the dishes that I served at the restaurant. And so this is kind of the start of it. And I like to try to just take whatever ingredients that are local from all of our wonderful local farmers, as you have said, and we certainly have an abundance of them here, see what they have available. For example, rhubarb. I went to the market, and they had some beautiful rhubarb, and we have some growing in our own rhubarb patch. So, you know, I like to take those ingredients and say, okay, what did we do here at the restaurant? What can I share with the people that did visit us? And I really have to say, it's been so wonderful to get phone calls and emails from people that are actually preparing the dishes and that they're excited about it and that they remember it. And people are even purchasing a Finger Lake wine to go with the dish, which is what Bob and I really wanted to see happen. And it is happening, so that makes us feel good. You know, it's nice that we can share this and that people are really enjoying it. They have the time right now, which is great. And, you know, hopefully it'll continue. You know, times are different right now, and maybe our future might be different too. But I think it's great to, you know, share this with our customers and people that did visit us. You know, 17 years, it's a lot of people walk through our doors, that's for sure.
Yeah, many thousands. Just in one season, many thousands, because you also hosted some large weddings and special events like that.
Yeah. You know, we were so lucky to find this property, Michael. The Finger Lakes is so beautiful, and the property that we found here off of Seneca Lake is just magnificent, and just sitting here looking out, it's pretty spectacular. And, you know, now that Bob and I have, you know, decided to wind down, this is our opportunity to be able to pass the baton. We really hope that someone will come along and want to continue what we have started here. And, you know, sadly for us, you know, we are going to, you know, put our beautiful place on the market and sell it. But we really hope that somebody will take it over and just do something very special and continue what we started. That's our dream, is to see it keep prospering, because it's so beautiful. And we'd like to share this with other people that can walk through these doors again.
I'm sure you'd love nothing more than to be able to come back in 5 years and you know, sit down to dinner and see what a chef is doing in that space.
That is a dream come true. You're absolutely right, and that's what we hope to be able to see one day. So, for sure. But in the meantime, doing these classes, these videos, you know, it's so nice to see so many people doing it. Laura Winter-Falk is doing, you know, virtual classes and talking about wine and matching it with food. And there's just so many people that are sharing their talents with everyone today. You know, it's the one gift, you know, during this pandemic. It's just so great to be able to actually appreciate so many different talents out there. That's been really fun.
And a lot of wineries doing online tastings and virtual tastings,
right.
Facebook videos, Instagram. Christopher Bates has been tasting wines evaluating his blind tasting cases on Instagram. Suzanne, when you bought the house, the property, said you'd been coming to the Finger Lakes for a few years and then found that property?
You're absolutely right, yeah. We were coming down Route 414, and we actually were coming around a bend which they called Townsend Curve. John Townsend is the man that actually owned this property. His name is still on the barns, which we love. And we were coming around Townsend Curve, and the Seneca Lake just opened up to us and took our breath away. It just literally, it still does to this day. It still does. It's a very special place. I always say that we found our little piece of heaven here, and it's beautiful.
Well, for people that maybe haven't been there, haven't seen it, it's very close to Wagner Vineyards, even closer to Chateau Lafayette,
Lamoureux Landing.
Lamoureux Landing. Just right next to you almost.
Correct, yes.
And then King's Garden, which was taken over, purchased by Idle Ridge.
And that's correct.
It's also owned by Montezuma. Those are literally right next door to you.
Yes, they are. Yes, yeah. So, it's, oh gosh, has it ever grown in the 17 years we've been here to see so many wineries and distillery and breweries. And they're all fantastic. And anybody that talks about any of them, they all have a favorite and they all have a love for one of them here in the area. I mean, you know, this side of Seneca Lake is loaded, and we're lucky to be here, really lucky.
Now, when you moved here and bought that property, it was just a private home, right? It wasn't a business,
it wasn't
a restaurant.
That's correct. It was just a private home. But when you looked, you know, it's 100 acres, and we looked at all of this land and this beautiful home, and we thought, gosh, what can we do with this? And walking into the front living room, it was just like this most perfect space. I mean, I just stood there, and I hate to say it, but I started to cry. I stood in the middle of the room, and I thought, wow, this is the little restaurant that I always wanted. Unfortunately, we didn't keep it so little. It just kept expanding and growing and growing, which is great. In the end, our last 3 years, we only served 40 people for a five-course wine dinner, which was really nice. It was very intimate, and it was very nice. I could really take the time to create each course and put a lot of thought and effort into it. So, yeah, I remember it like yesterday.
Well, and your husband, Bob, is the cellar master, right? He's the wine master.
You are correct. He is great. I mean, he has such passion for all of the wineries here, and he created, you know, a wonderful relationship with the wine owners and winemakers, and this was a very, very special time in our life. I mean, the two of us doing it together, working side by side. You know, we always said that we would call our book The Talent and the Bookkeeper, because he did everything. He wore many hats between taking care of the front of the house and, you know, picking the wines and doing wine tastings. And he did it all. He did it all. I never left the kitchen, but he did everything else.
Well,
great.
And the kitchen, you designed it. I mean, again, it wasn't a commercial kitchen when you purchased the property, but now you know, is a significant kitchen. You were able to cater large events, and again, it would be a perfect place for a chef who wanted to have that flexibility to do events, and with a barn, or actually several barns, I think.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the land
property.
Is beautiful. The barns are gorgeous. They're in beautiful condition. And catering weddings here were really very special. We created great relationships with the people that we did work with here. And, the property is just magnificent. People actually got married on the property, had their reception here. We're married here, so it was all in one, you know, all encased in one, which was really nice for people to be able to come and visit the property and see how beautiful it is. So you're right, our kitchen fed a lot of people, and we did up to weddings up to 200 people, and we did it in our kitchen. And with Dick Gerhardt's in Syracuse, restaurant equipment that worked with us to put the kitchen together, and it's been great ever since. Just wonderful. And we still have lots of windows in the kitchen too, which is good.
Yeah, if you're going to be there all day, you want to be able to look out, right?
That's right. That is right. We didn't want to give that up, that's for sure.
And yeah. I think you have a pond that's up above where the barns are located?
We do. Yeah, we have a pond with a gazebo, and that actually was the site where most people did get married up there. And we, Bob always loved taking the bride up to the pond area, because we have a set of poplar trees, and it was just such a beautiful site. And he always wanted to encourage the brides to want to walk through the poplar trees coming to the entrance of the ceremony. And it is. It's very, very special. It's a special place.
And again, you know, think of the thousands of people that attended weddings and special events there. It will always be that special to them, and hopefully a restaurant again at some point in the future. The videos, again, are available on your YouTube channel.
Correct.
And love to hear from old customers. I have fond memories. One particular dinner in several cooking classes I attended, but one dinner with a German winemaker on your porch. I think
front porch.
I remember it.
Yes.
It wasn't a particularly warm night, but I think we were the only ones out there, and just had an amazing dinner. And you know, that was Johannes Selbach from Selbach Oster in Germany, who was visiting, and it was just a spectacular evening of food and wine, of course. And we'll always remember that.
You know, it's so nice to have those memories. I mean, it's the one thing that you do, you know, take with you. And even though, you know, Suzanne Fine Regional Cuisine as a restaurant has closed, I don't think, you know, I think people still take their memories and the dinners and the experiences that they have here. And that's good. We need those good memories, you know. That's really good. And we're, Bob and I are so happy to have been a part of that. That's very special to us.
In 2003, when you opened it, you know, the region was quite different. The breweries hadn't started opening. A lot of quite a few wineries were not open yet.
That's true.
Restaurants. I mean, it was early in this rebirth of the region as a culinary and wine and beer destination. And you probably had visitors who were coming from around the country and around the world, right, that came to the restaurant?
Yeah, very much so. We were written up in Frommer's going back, I think it was 2004. We had people from Europe coming and all over the country, you know, New York, Washington, D.C., Boston, Ohio, Pennsylvania. And that was great. You know, I think that, I guess, I don't know that I thought originally that we wanted our restaurant to be a destination place, but it kind of turned out that way. And we were good with that. You know, we really were. It was really nice that even we would have customers that would come once a year. They would come up to the Finger Lakes once a year, and part of their visit here was always to come to our restaurant. So that's really nice, and we just kept going with that, and we kept strong with that. And it was nice to meet so many people from all over. That's pretty neat. And also people that were local. You know, it was really nice to have people from Geneva and Ithaca and Rochester come and join us and have dinner or have a cottage on the lake and come during the summertime. Obviously, the summertime and the fall is the most spectacular time here in the Finger Lakes. But the season is getting longer here, too. People can start coming for much longer periods. It's not just a 2 or 3 month season. It's more of an 8 to 9 month season, which is really good, you know, to have a restaurant here. It's getting stronger, and it's, you know, the season is much longer today, which is terrific for owners, you know.
Yeah, well, again, the videos are available, and I imagine if former customers have favorite dishes they've had over the years, they can send you a note, it might appear in a video in the future.
I would love that. I welcome that. That would be great.
They contact you through, what's the best way for people to contact you?
Well, they can certainly contact us through Facebook. We still do have our email and our website, SuzanneFRC.com. I think the best way would be through Facebook, which is still Suzanne Fine Regional Cuisine. And our YouTube channel is Cooking with Suzanne Fine Regional Cuisine, and they can reach out to us in any one of those. And we are also on Instagram as well.
You're more media savvy than I am, social media savvy than I am. Good job.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Thanks very much.
I've only just started Instagram, and, you know, it's fascinating, but For a long time, Facebook was all I was doing, and took me, I don't know, a couple decades to finally get to Instagram. So.
Well, I can still, yeah, no, it's amazing. I remember one of my favorite restaurants in New York City was Chanterelle, and it was just such a very special place for Bob and I to go visit. And I remember he was also not tech savvy. He wasn't willing to make those changes. He didn't want anything on the computer, and they even hand wrote all of their menus, which I always thought was just so special and really, yeah, really nice. So everybody takes their time with it, you know, one day, one step at a time, one day at a time.
That's right. That's right. Well, again, Suzanne Fine Regional Cuisine, one of the parts, one of the building blocks of the Finger Lakes region. And great to catch up with you, Suzanne, and look forward to seeing you on YouTube more in the future.
Well, thank you so much, and it was really a pleasure. Thanks a lot, and hello to everyone out there.
Yeah, please say hello to Bob and give him my best also.
I absolutely will. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's Suzanne Stack. She and Bob are the owners of Suzanne Fine Regional Cuisine, and as she said, the restaurant is no longer open, but they are doing online cooking classes, and those are free, available, and we'll let you know if she does that cookbook. That will be fun to read about those recipes and things that, and look back on some of those that she has done over the years at the restaurant. And during the interview, I mentioned Diana Kennedy, Nothing Fancy. If you haven't seen this movie, you should. And you have just a couple of days, I think, maybe just through tomorrow at the Little Theater, virtually showing online. And I think it said June 1st. And it's maybe an 85-minute movie, somewhere in that range. It's not an especially long movie, but it's a documentary about her life and the person who has really brought Mexican cooking to the world through her cookbooks, through her television appearances. And she is now 97. The movie was filmed over 6 years, and Elizabeth Carroll, who directed it, there was an interview Linda Moroney did with Elizabeth Carroll, was live. You could participate live, but it is also available now after the fact if you want a little more background on what it was like to work with Diana Kennedy, a complete spitfire of a person. Really can't wait to cook from more of her cookbooks. Someone who spent decades in investigating and researching and living in Mexico and bringing Mexican food from all parts of Mexico to life. Amazing story. And some of the chefs, like Rick Bayless, who's one of the best-known chefs of Mexican cuisine in this country, has restaurants in Chicago, Jose Andres, Alice Waters, a lot of fabulous chefs pay homage to Diana Kennedy and adds a nice dimension to it, and especially the way it was filmed over, I said, 6 years. I really loved the way that it was put together and the insights it gives you into this person who, again, in her 90s, is continuing to spread the word about the beauty, the deliciousness of Mexican food. Nothing Fancy. You should watch that movie. If you love food, even if you don't like Mexican food, you might turn out, after you see the movie, that you decide you probably haven't had much real Mexican food and you need to go in search of it. or cook it yourself. But a fantastic movie. So nothing fancy. It is perhaps available for rent online. I would guess it probably is, even after it leaves the Little. But it's only $10 right now through the Little Theater. And it also, that money also goes to support the Little Theater during the shutdown period. So make sure to see the movie. And then also try to see the interview with Elizabeth Carroll. That's maybe 30 minutes, 25 minutes long. It's not that long an interview. If you run into things like that, you don't hear me mention, email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors.
It's so nice while slipping on the sliding ice. Just sip hot chicken soup with rice. Sipping once, sipping twice. Sipping chicken soup with rice. In February it will be my snowman's anniversary. With cake for him and soup for me. Chicken soup with rice in March.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of For the Love of Food. And these are some great places. The restaurants are not able to reopen yet until phase three, but many of them, many of our sponsors are doing takeout and some exceptional food and crucial right now to support local independent businesses. Get a few extra dishes, so you maybe put some in the freezer. I did that when I got takeout from Aunt Rosie's. And Aunt Rosie's, Max of Eastman Place, and Max Chop House are all part of Tony Galassi's family of restaurants. All three doing takeout and some awesome food. You can go to maxrochesterny.com and get details on all three. If you want to get a gift card, that gift card will be valid for all three restaurants, maybe as a gift to someone, maybe for yourself. But some MaxRochesterNY.com has really gorgeous photography. So check out the website and consider getting some takeout from one or maybe all three of those restaurants. Also brought to you by Lombardi's Gourmet in Fairport. This is a grocery store of a lot of Italian goods, but also foods from around the world. And not only food, but also some of the things that they make themselves of sauces and tapenades. But things to cook with, things to set your table, and perhaps to brighten the table, or gifts that maybe you want to get someone for a special event. Someone who loves food. Lombardi's is a great place to get a gift for them. It's LombardisGourmet.com. They also can send gift baskets. They have some they're put together. You could put together your own and send it. It's open Monday through Saturday. In Fairport, just north of the railroad tracks, they have several dozen types of frozen ravioli, including the gluten-free and vegan options. They have about 300 kinds of pasta. It's really an amazing amazing place, not a restaurant, but a store where you can shop and put together some easy meals over the next several weeks and maybe the next several months, stock up on some things for your freezer. It's LombardisGourmet.com. Also brought to you by Fox Run Vineyards and Anthony Road Wine Company, both just south of Geneva on Route 14. And they have curbside service and also shipping available for their wines. Fox Run just released a new canned wine. They already had several, including Riesling Chardonnay and their Arctic Fox. Now they have their Cabernet Limburger blend with in a can. So that's a delicious dry red available now in a can from Fox Run, as well as lots of other delicious wines in the bottle, including a tawny port and a regular port style wine, gorgeous dessert wines. FoxRunVineyards.com. Just south of about 2 miles is Fox Run Vineyards with some amazing skin fermented white wines, gorgeous reds. Both wineries have many options. Easy to get, six bottles, maybe a mixed half case or a full case. Maybe order for pickup a case from each winery and take a drive down Seneca Lake and pick those up. So foxhornvineyards.com, anthonyroadwine.com. Captain Jim's Seafood Market is open Tuesday through Saturday, and that's East Main where it ends at Winton. They have great seafood to go, and also awesome fried fish, baked salmon. So you can get fresh fish to go or get something to eat as takeout. That's Captain Jim's Seafood Market, and great people there. Just call, place your order, and they'll put it on a table outside their front door for you when you let them know you're there. And around the corner from them, Mayor's Paint and Hardware has great people to help you if you're trying to fix things around your house, do some painting, etc. They have a curbside pickup door, and then also a door where you can go in if you wear a mask and pick up things that you need. I was there yesterday to get some plumbing things to fix in our house. So MayorHardware.com, open 7 days a week. And finally, Dr. Constantine Frank, Vinifera Wine Cellars, Chateau Frank, there was their sparkling wine brand. They have now brought that in under their Dr. Frank label, but it's the same fabulous sparkling wine. They have many different sparkling wines for you to try. Maybe get a mixed case, including sparkling wine and dry rosé and Rieslings and Chardonnays, Merlot and Cabernet, many to choose from at Dr. Frank. Pickup or shipping available. It's drfrankwines.com. Get a copy of the biography of Dr. Frank to go with your wine. Fascinating story of his life before he came to the United States and before he came to Keuka Lake, as well as the development of the winery. It's drfrankwines.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on For the Love of Food.
I went into a restaurant looking for the cook. I told him I was the editor of a famous etiquette book. The waitress, he was handsome, he wore a powder blue cape. I ordered some Suzette, I said, could you please make that crepe? Just then the whole kitchen exploded from boiling fat. Food was flying everywhere, I left without my hat.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's For Love of Food. If you want details on anything you hear me mention, like that documentary about Diana Kennedy, email me, michael@saverlife.com. And I really love the movie. I watched it in a couple different sections and watched the last part last night. And it was so inspiring to see someone who is 90. She's 95, I think, when they filmed the movie, and younger. But they finished filming, I think, when she was 95. Shows her getting a James Beard Award, and really exciting to see someone get this kind of recognition with the movie before they pass away. She's not going to live forever, and to see people acknowledging just how important her work has been is really special, and especially the time that she took and the travels throughout Mexico to go to the markets to see how people made things, to see how they grew things, to see really the process beyond just the food itself, the culture, and the story. The movie tells the story of how she ended up doing that, how she ended up in Mexico and living in Mexico for so many decades. So really well done. It was the first documentary that Elizabeth Carroll has produced. One of the reasons it took 6 years to film was she had to raise money to do the shoots, and she would go once a year to Mexico. And that's one of the reasons that you see Diana Kennedy kind of at different stages, you know, 91 through 95, basically, in her house in Mexico, and visiting some of the farms, seeing what's growing in her backyard. She had some orange trees in her backyard, said that she still made orange marmalade. Really a great story. Kind of reminded me in a way of Ginger Howell, who is 90 and is still teaching cooking, although with the shutdown, clearly not teaching right now, but along with her daughter Holly, I'm sure they will be back teaching cooking in the near future, because that's what she's done. Ginger has taught, along with her husband who passed away several years ago, Dick Howell, taught cooking for 40 plus years in her home in Mendon, and you know, had a huge impact on generations of people in our region, and they're learning how to cook, being inspired by the recipes that she made, by some of the guest chefs that she brought in, and by the wine knowledge that Holly brought to it. Really, I mean, Ginger and Dick loved the entertaining and the cooking, but they would, I think, generally serve jug wine, as I recall, seeing the jugs of wine that they would pour for their guests. And Holly kind of brought that to a new level with her love of wines from around the world and local wines in particular. So, you know, it's one of many things that we're looking forward to getting back to as we slowly start the reopening. The wineries will not have their tasting rooms open for tasting until June 12th or so at the earliest. Again, reopening phases are being spaced out by a couple of weeks, by 2 weeks generally, although that's not certain. It depends what happens in the meantime. And the best way to make sure that we're able to reopen the restaurants and the tasting rooms with precautions is to be careful now to wear a mask while we're out. If we're not careful, we risk not being able to reopen additional phases. This is based on people taking precautions, being careful, and wearing a mask. And then we'll be able to reopen the tasting rooms. I mentioned last week on the wine show that the Willamette Valley in Oregon has reopened and produced really thorough instructions for what wineries need to do and what kinds of experiences that they can offer in tasting rooms just as they reopen. And that will provide a lot of information for the Finger Lakes and New York State as the different wine regions reopen here, because we'll have a chance to see what's worked, what wineries have struggled with, the challenges of reopening tasting rooms. They'll have basically 3 weeks under their belts in Oregon, and that's something that we can learn from here in the Finger Lakes and in New York State. Morgan McLaughlin, who used to run Finger Lakes Wine Country, moved to Santa Barbara in California and ran the Santa Barbara wine organization, and then moved up to the Willamette Valley, probably five or six years ago. So we have a local connection there in the Willamette Valley, and someone who probably is going to be talking to some of the wineries in the Finger Lakes, and I'm sure quite a few of the wineries know her and are probably communicating with her. So, in a sense, we are at an advantage being behind Oregon to learn from what happens there. So June 12th is the target date at this point for the Finger Lakes wineries to reopen their tasting rooms. And again, with social distancing, with masks, be able to offer tastings once more and catch hopefully the summer tourism season. Again, if we're careful about the reopening, we can welcome people back to the region, and we can reopen many businesses. In the next hour, we're going to talk about ice cream. It is Livingston County has set up a trail of ice cream destinations, a bunch of them, that you can explore and basically get a passport to them so you can check them off as you go and then potentially win some prizes if you send in your trail map with all of these destinations. So they're a wide range of areas, mostly in Livingston County, but a couple of them are right on the edge of Livingston County. There's Caledonia, Piffard, Nunde, Avon, Livonia, Attica, Lakeville, Mount Morris, Geneseo, Dansville, Canisius, Naples, all of these ice cream places, some of which you probably heard of and maybe have visited, some of which maybe you've never heard of. So in the next hour, we'll talk with Kishawa Creamery, which is in Nunde. And I saw on Facebook that they were working on a rhubarb ice cream. Love to try that. Nunde is about 50 minutes from Rochester to go to the Kishawa Creamery. But some cool businesses, Reminisce Soda Fountain, that's in Caledonia, as is the Angry Rooster Deli. There's Twister's Ice Cream Shop in Livonia. I think that's the one Chris Clemens of Exploring Upstate posted a photo of visiting them. And the Vintage Cow Farmers Market in Attica. So some of these places, maybe an excuse to get out and take a drive in the country and go and visit one of these destinations. So you don't have to do them all at once. You can do them over the course of the summer check off visiting each of these. Maybe a Sprinkles ice cream that Chris Clemens went to. And you can follow him on Facebook, on Instagram, exploringupstate.com. And he's, I think, going to be visiting most of these, putting together his own entry for this ice cream connection, the trail stops in Livingston County. If you have a favorite ice cream place, email me, michael@saverlife.com. And I was just at Pittsford Farms Dairy a couple days ago. I didn't get ice cream, but I did get some of their pastries and a couple of donuts from Schutz Apple Mill. They sell them at Pittsford Farms Dairy, and it's great. The pastries they have at Pittsford Farms Dairy are fabulous. They also are carrying even more local products right now. They had some asparagus as well, and they don't have a lot of produce, but they have usually the seasonal things. They'll have strawberries when those come in. They'll probably have blueberries and cherries when those come in. But they have a lot of other local products, from Giuliano's sauce to the pierogi guy, pierogies. A lot of local cheeses, Flower City pasta, a number of those, baked goods from Leo's Bakery and Amazing Grains. Lots of other little things, whether it's hot sauces or mustards, they really have a nice selection of local products at Pittsford Farms Dairy. And of course, some really good ice cream. It's a gorgeous spot, and I find memories looking back on what they, their original store, which was tiny. It was really, really tiny at Pittsford Farms Dairy, and they put up their new building, and I think there were some just issues with getting approvals for using and sort of commercial production of milk and ice cream in there. It's a heavily regulated business, and it was a few years after they put up the building that before they were able to open it. But it is such a nice building. If you haven't been in Pittsford Farms Dairy, you need to go over and get some ice cream there. Again, this ice cream trail is really just Livingston County, but we'll probably see something similar for other counties. I think it's a great idea to put this kind of trail together. There's a sweets trail that's in Cayuga County, and that includes obviously some ice cream places as well as Fly By Night Cookie Company, which is up in Fairhaven, and that's been extremely popular. Bonnie at Fly By Night Cookie Company said that she's had, she told me this maybe a year ago, she had lots of people who were on that Cayuga County sweets trail, and Cayuga County is a odd-shaped county. It goes all the way up to Lake Ontario in Fairhaven, but you know, that's like an hour away or 45 minutes away from much of Cayuga County. But still, she had a lot of people who were following that sweets trail. And you can get more details on that through Cayuga County online. But again, this Livingston County one we'll talk about in the next hour. We will take a quick break. Be back after words from our sponsors. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with the sponsors of For Love of Food. Those include Ristorante Lucano, which has been doing takeout for much of the shutdown period. Some delicious Italian food, and because of some of the changes in regulations around wine and beer, etc., they're able to sell wine, and they feature an all-Italian wine list except for one from the Finger Lakes. So maybe explore some Italian wine along with the Italian food of Ristorante Lucano. Get a bottle or two of maybe what they recommend, or maybe you've always wanted to have a Montepulciano, maybe Sangiovese, maybe Chianti, but you don't know what to get at the wine shop. Get some recommendations from Ristorante Lucano, and some outstanding food, of course, to go and or go and get pickup. Maybe get a couple extra dishes to put in the freezer. Again, if you're going to be going there anyway, maybe get a few extra order in advance. RestauranteLucano.com. Also, and by the way, there are Winton and the corner of Winton and East Avenue. Also brought to you by Knapp Winery and Vineyard Restaurant. The restaurant, of course, is not open right now, but the winery is for pickup and for shipping. Knappwine.com had a delicious Cabernet Franc, gorgeous dry rosé. They have many reds and whites for you to try. Maybe ship some to family or friends, maybe to someone as a thank you. You can send them 3 bottles. You can send them 6 bottles. Maybe get together with a couple other people and send a case as a gift to someone. It's at knappwine.com. The west side of Cayuga Lake, about an hour and 20 minutes from Rochester, and beautiful drive down to Cayuga Lake. That's at knappwine.com. Also brought to you by Rohrbach's, our hometown craft brewer since 1991. They have helped to create the beer scene that we have in Rochester right now. John Erlob really been a key person behind the scenes, also part of the New York Restaurant Association, public market district with a beer hall on Railroad Street in the public market. Does a lot of work behind the scenes in the industry and helping to build Rochester and the beer scene here. Their brew pub on Buffalo Road is open 7 days a week, doing takeout, of course, and they have some fantastic German specialties. They have a rotating menu. They reduce their menu for takeout just to make things safer in their kitchen and make things easier for their customers. So look them up online for details, Rohrbach's.com, and keep in mind their beer is available at grocery stores, markets, and restaurants around our region. Some fantastic beers. They made about over 70 different beers in 2019, and they'll probably make even more this year. That's Rohrbach's.com. Herd Orchards, they are reopening their farm market this weekend. That means they'll have some baked goods and their amazing pies. Love their pies. Get details at herdorchards.com. Asparagus and rhubarb season has begun. They'll have that at the farmer's market, or their farm market on Route 104, just west of Brockport. But call in advance if you're looking for one thing in particular, like asparagus, because you don't want to catch them when they run out. But then you might end up going home with a pie or some of their jams and jellies. It's herdorchards.com. Fabulous place, and one of my favorite places to go each year as the different fruits come into season. It's herdorchards.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on For Love of Food. Michael Warren Thomas here with For Love of Food. And again, the next hour, we'll talk about ice cream. Lots of ice cream available these days, and Livingston County in particular.